Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our hope was, like I said, at 15 to 10 seconds, once that sack occurred, that we would get the play off and be able to utilize that timeout there. So once you get past a certain point, that using a timeout, the fast field goals is really, it takes a certain amount of time. And once you're past a certain point, our hope was that the ball would be snapped at 15 to 10, and then we would call the timeout right there.
He doesn't know how to do it because he's never been there before. He doesn't know how to win. He does not know how to win. And we see it firsthand. Winning coaches know what to do. We see Harbaugh, when he's coaching the Chargers, call the timeout to set his team up and then call a timeout on the Hail Mary that the Bengals are trying to throw. We see it. Winning coaches know what to do because they've been there. And sometimes this is what happens when you have a head coach that has no head coaching experience. I've said this often. I used to produce in radio for years. I was an executive producer of a morning show for years. And I used to get so frustrated with my host because I would tell him what to say, tell him what to do, tell him what he needed to talk about in a specific break, and he would never do it. And I'd get so mad at him. I'd be like, you're an idiot. In my head, I wouldn't say it so. And then when I finally got the reins to become the morning show host, I called him and apologized. He had no idea what I was calling to apologize about. I called him and apologized because I said, even though I was there every day, even though I was frustrated that you weren't doing what you were supposed to do, because I was on the outside looking in, once I got into that seat, I understood how difficult it was because you're thinking about so much stuff. So Flus, even though he's been around football for so long, and he said, I can do that. I could be a head coach. I see my head coach on the Colts making mistakes all the time. But when finally given the opportunity, he is realizing in real time that it is much more difficult to manage a game when all the pressure is on you. And as a result, it potentially is going to cost him his job. If you're tuning in for Olin Krutz, he'll be hanging out with us at 11:30. He got to get his thoughts together. My man is hot. So I understand. He wanted to cool down before he
There's
came,
nothing.
Came on.
So it's been twice this year where I've been producing the post-game show. The first one was after the Green Bay game.
Yeah.
So we didn't know what was going to happen. And we hop on immediately after.
Hot.
And we get unfiltered Olin and unfiltered Pat and unfiltered Mully. And then we got it yesterday, too. It was amazing.
Yeah. There's nowhere else to go following a post-game other than 670 The Score, because you get Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz along with Mully. people that love this Chicago Bears team. And again, Olin will hang out with us at 11:30 to give us some more insight. Ooh, fresh out the presses. All right, let's go back out to the phones. Therapist Gabe is here. I have my glasses. I have my notepad. I'm ready to validate your feelings on this team. Let's go to Carrie out in Buffalo Grove. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Amen, brother. Amen. So I was a boss. I never coached anything, but I was a boss for years. We'd have staff meetings once a week on Tuesdays, kind of like what the Bears may do. And I would throw things out there. And my supervisors, who I trusted and I appointed, were like, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's a terrible idea. And so I would not go with it. And they would just coach me up. And my point would be, why don't they just talk and say, you know, that you suck at being a head coach. And, like, you're supposed to look in the mirror. Like my guy said, that was a terrible call. And in hindsight, most of the times was, but I didn't let it get out there. And the point is, my job, I always tell them, if you could talk to any of my guys, they would say, my job as a boss is to make you look good. And your job as my supervisor is to make me look good. That ain't happening. And that's just management 101. And your job as a head coach or in the NFL, you have one job, win. And that's it. All right. Thanks for taking the call. Bye.
Appreciate the call, Boss Carey. You understand it. Sometimes you have to have that interaction between the two. And you have to, who is telling Flus, like, hey, dude? Because what they're saying is he has someone in his ear that's in the booth that's a time management, clock management person. So how are those conversations happening? Flus mentioned in the postgame presser, like, hey, I'm asking him, do you need a timeout? Do they need a timeout? No, we're good. We're going to let it go. And then it got down to a certain time. And by that moment, the play was getting changed by Caleb, and they were in too deep. Terrible. That means everyone in that circle is bad. Everyone in that circle is bad. Or no one has the gall to tell Flus he's doing it wrong. So no one's in the headset saying, call a timeout. No one. We are at home screaming at the TV, but unfortunately we don't have direct communication to the headset. What would you have said though? 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Let's go out to Dave. Another guy out in Florida listening on the Odyssey app. All right, Dave, what are you thankful for this holiday season?
The only time I'm going to be thankful is when, for Christmas, I get Matt Eberflus released of his duties as head coach. This is preposterous. That game wasn't lost in the last seconds. That game was lost when they got off the plane because they weren't ready or prepared to play the Detroit Lions. If you see that, I don't know what the stat is. I don't know the exact stat, but in the last, like, prior to Shane Waldron being released, we were averaging 1.9 points a game in the first quarters of every single game. This guy, Eberflus, is notorious for not having his team ready to go at any point in any game, no matter how big or small. It could have been the Colts. It could have been our hated rival, the Packers. These guys are never prepared. And then Caleb miraculously brings us back in four of these games, and this guy craps the bed. I don't know why the McCaskies hold on to this theory that we can't fire this guy before the end of the season, because this is getting ridiculous. And the worst part is, guys, we're not a local laughingstock. We're a national laughingstock. Everybody from Good Morning Football to Mad Dog Sports on Sirius, they laugh at us and say, this guy's a freaking joke. So I don't know what else to say, guys. Please talk me off the ledge because I'm ready to go to another team.
No. Don't do that, Dave. I appreciate the call. You're in South Florida. You got to keep representing for the Chicago Bears out there, especially in that state. Everyone is laughing at us. That is a fact. Whether it's Stephen A. Smith, J.J. Watt, pick your publication, and they are trashing not only Coach Eberflus, but the Chicago Bears as a whole. Dave, you said one thing at the very beginning of your phone call that I think has resonated with me over the last couple of weeks, and it is that the Bears weren't prepared the second they got off the plane. This is a team that far too often they aren't prepared. You mentioned the first quarter struggles. I could point to games. Bears, as you mentioned, though, averaging 1.7 points per game in the first quarter. To put it into perspective, because I know it seems very low, and the assumption would be that some team is out there scoring 20 points, the team with the highest first quarter points is the Minnesota Vikings with 7.5. So the deviation isn't, you know, I know that's a touchdown, but I mean, the deviation isn't as though somebody's scoring 13, 14 points in the first quarter, right? 7.5 is the highest. Bears, second to last. Only team worse than them, the Philadelphia Eagles, with 1.5 points per game. Now, to try to compare, last year, the Bears, in first quarter points, they averaged 4.2 points per game in the first quarter. So they're getting busy. Remember there was a time when Flus was actually asking for the ball first because he wanted to put Justin in a better position to feel better about himself and maybe they would be able to score? Frustrating to say the least. All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to, Jeff out in Kalamazoo. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gabe. How you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I'll let you be the Lucy. I'll be your Charlie Brown and drop a nickel in your can.
I'm ready.
All right. So what we've been talking about with Eberflus today, I mean, it's 100% on him. He's got to call that timeout when he gets sacked or even with like 20 seconds left. You got to call a timeout because you got to get at least two plays in that amount of time. So that's all on him. I mean, there was bad mistakes by Williams and that too. But what I'm looking at in the future, I'm kind of with you on Thomas Brown. I don't want to settle. This team has settled way too long. We need to look and vet the best guy for the job. And I believe right now my top candidate is Ben Johnson from Kalamazoo. I'm in the Detroit area of watching NFL games. So I see a lot of Ben Johnson. And when you surrounded him with a good team and his play calling, he looks exceptional. Now, he's making Jared Goff, who most of my Detroit fans will tell you is not a top 10 quarterback, look like an MVP candidate. I think if you believe Caleb is good and you believe in polls to create a team around him, I think Ben Johnson is your man because as a Bears fan, I want to see an offensive head coach, and I want to see a head coach that's going to be around for the next 10 years, growing with this quarterback and leading this team to division titles and Super Bowl titles. Remember, Paul said at the beginning of the year this would be a tough team to make, so his expectations must have been at least a 9-win team, and we're not going to reach that. So the best thing that's happened so far, I believe, is Eberflus will be gone at the end of this year. I was kind of 50-50 if they were going to let him go or not, but I'm pretty sure he's gone at the end of the year. If they want to hold on to him, you know, till the end to make sure that it's stability for Caleb, just hold on to him, get rid of him at the end of the year. We'll all have to suffer, but let's just hope better days are ahead. That's all I got for you, brother.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it. You bring up some great points. First, in the very beginning, you say, hey, there was two plays that should have happened at the tail end of that game. One more pass and a field goal. I think we can all agree on that. How they got there, whether it was via the timeout, whether it was, you know, via the play right there, then the timeout, those things should have happened. When you're talking about settling with Thomas Brown, I think Poles, again, we talked about it, where he was at when he took over the team and hiring Flus, he understood he needed someone to be there, a leader of men, because things were going to get rocky. Where they're at right now, that is no longer the case. And if Poles is to be the continued GM of the Chicago Bears, which I think we all can agree that more than likely is going to be the case, he is going to have the freedom to bring in the coach that he then feels is the right guy to take them to the next level. Now, is Ben Johnson that guy? Let's not forget, a lot of people complained about his play calling against the Bears. Got a little too cute, allowed the Bears to stay in it.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings.
Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up until the very end, and I'm not sure. I think when it comes down to the next head coach of the Chicago Bears, you have those options. It is the wily veteran versus the outstanding play caller that's brand new, that's never coached in the NFL before when you're talking about a guy like Ben Johnson. That's why some people are intrigued by a Cliff Kingsbury, someone who has a relationship with Caleb Williams. Obviously, the Bears interviewed him for the OC position, but he has head coaching experience. He has a relationship with Caleb Williams. It's going to be interesting to see what Caleb has to say about not only Thomas Brown, but those that could potentially be the head coach of the Chicago Bears, because he is going to have a strong hand in selecting who is going to be next. Again, Coach Eberflus found his way into his post-game press conference following the day after. He found it in this morning, was there, talked to the media, and even Jason Leisure asked him, do you think you're going to be coaching the Bears next Sunday? Bears taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Everyone's going to be watching that one. But the reason we feel this way is because we are dealing with heartache after the Bears lose to this Detroit Lions team. A game that you felt like the Bears could have won, should have won, especially the way Caleb Williams was playing in the second half. 20 for 39, 256, three touchdowns. Just absolute dog. It's what we like to see, and we wish he would have came up, because you want to see Caleb Williams win too. I think that's what a lot of people aren't talking about. Yes, he botched the end of the game. Yes, you feel like the Bears should have won some. But when you're thinking about the progress of your quarterback, your rookie quarterback, you want him to taste victory, and it would have been no better moment than against what some are considering the best team in the NFL for Caleb Williams to come back in the second half on a 99-yard drive and pull out that victory. That is what you would have loved to have seen. 312-644-6767. What would you have loved to see? Let's go out to Chris in Plainfield. Chris, so I think we all can agree that Flus, we need to move on from Flus, but what was the nail in the coffin for you?
You know, there's just so many nails. There's like 1,000 nails in that coffin, and it's been going on for a long time. And, you know, when you get into the leadership and coaching, there's so many different nails. Well, you could start with his inability to just assess and hire engaged talent. He's gone through multiple coordinators, which is his responsibility. Yes, I get Poles has a hand in that, but he's directly responsible for that. So he can't assess talent, he can't lead talent, and he can't manage or hold talent accountable. That's a sign of a terrible leader. You can get into clock management and get into time management or just execution or having team prepared, you know, to get off the plane. He's terrible at that. I really just don't even know what he's good at this point. Like, at this point, he's just a defensive coordinator, and he's in way over his head. And I agree 1,000%. When you talk about the McCaskies who just can't make a decision to pull the plug, the longer they stay with this, the more they're justifying the decisions that have been made. You start to lose the team. You set the team back, you know, 12, 18, 24 months. You don't know. But at the end of the day, if he can't assess talent, if he can't hold people accountable, you know, I was listening to the show a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about, and this is before Waldron was fired, and they were talking about the next coach, you know, who's going to replace Eberflus. And they were bringing up different names, and they were talking about Tomlin, they were talking about Tower, they were talking about Belichick, all these different names. You know, forget it. We're not going to get the guy from Detroit. He's not going to go into the division to walk into a mess like this. But at the end of the day, the one thing that bothers me that I think the most is the guy has zero heart. I just want to see like one blow up, like one calculated blow up where he just loses it and just has some sign of like, I have a pulse and my team needs to see. It's like the, it's like a bad call on the field in baseball where the manager just goes out and just loses it to get thrown out of the game to just inspire the team. There's no inspiration. At this point, it's just a bunch of kids running around with scissors in their hands and like nobody knows what they're doing.
Chris, he's too worried about losing his job. He wants to look good. You know, he got the beard and the hair looks nice and his wife's setting him up. He's too worried about that to get fired up. But you're absolutely right. That's what you need in that moment. Look, you could say it in the locker room, which Lord knows we've heard his post-halftime speeches when talking to the media saying, hey, the score is what it is, and we got to go out there and do our job, which is ridiculous. But he needs to get fired up. Listen, there needs to be a level of accountability when it comes to this team, and specifically in the present. And it is not, hey, you know, we didn't operate the best. We shouldn't. No. He needs to come out and put, we are better than this. It is my, I am not doing the best job to get these guys in the best position to win, to be prepared. This is inexcusable. He needs to say that so that that way, not only does the front office understand that, but the players understand that. And they know that he's not incompetent. He sees what everybody else sees. Then he has to go out and execute. And that's what unfortunately has been his crutch in that situation. Thanks for the call, Chris. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Woo, everybody's fired up today. And I'm glad I got my therapist couch out because I feel like we all need it. We're all feeling a certain type of way about our team that we love wholeheartedly that is still being ran by Coach Eberflus, which we feel as fans has cost this team a couple of games.
Gabe, you know when a good time for Flus to blow up would be? When his quarterback takes a cheap shot.
Yeah.
Justin
like
Fields, Caleb Williams, doesn't matter. They keep taking cheap shots and he doesn't say a thing about it.
I saw him get fired up when Cole Kmet got the offensive pass interference call. That to me was mind-boggling. It's like, no, dude, we all saw him. He ran into him. But again, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We got Olin Kreutz coming up at 11:30. Want to make sure you're here for that. But let's go take another call. Let's go to Mike out in Rockford. So, Mike, what do you have to say about the current head coach of the Chicago Bears?
I'm bewildered for the fact that I'm watching the game yesterday, and my 7-year-old nephew even says, the clock, the time. But my 7-year-old nephew has more brains in his head than Eberflus has in his rear end. I'm just frustrated, guys. I'm frustrated, and I'm ticked off because the McCaskey family, I'm not going to say this. I have a very dear friend who used to work for the Bears organization for 10 years ago, and he knows the McCaskey family real well. They're only going to hire yes men. We're not going to get a coach like Coward or Gruden or anybody that's got any, you know, charisma in their personality. They want someone who's like a robot, and it's going to bow to every, you know. But let me ask you guys one quick question. This, I'm going to say this and I'll hang up. What is wrong with the Bears? Ryan Poles, I think that the McCaskies are controlling Poles because Poles, to save his own job, he would have to fire him. He's going to take – Eberflus is going to take Poles down. Eberflus is making Poles look terrible.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this, because I agree with you when it comes to, you know, how this team is operating in the past. I think when they hired Poles, when they brought in Kevin Warren, they understood that they needed to take this team in a different direction. And I think that that's what they felt like was going to happen. But look, Poles cannot fire, in my mind at least, Poles cannot fire Flus right now, 2 weeks after firing Waldron, because then everyone will think he is incompetent. Why didn't you do that 2 weeks ago? Why did you allow him to have two more weeks with his team? I think that is what we're up against right now when you're looking at this team.
And you're absolutely right. But here's my question. That's fine. But when? How do you got to put the fire out somewhere. And if he keeps Flus and we lose a few more games because of stupidity, what does it make Ryan Poles look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And I think ultimately, again, we have to look at this on a macro level. Where was Poles trying to take this team 3 years ago? He is not there yet. So although he's frustrated with Flus and where this team is, he did not expect the Bears to be Super Bowl contenders this year. He understood in his grand scheme of things that the Bears were going to need one more offseason to fully put this team where it needs to be in order to compete with the top teams in the NFL. This offseason includes bringing in Now he's only focused on the offensive defense line. You've taken care of your secondary. You have your running back signed. Your wide receivers are there. You have some pieces on the offensive line. Cole Kmet is locked in. Your linebackers are locked in. There's only two places to go, offensive and defensive line. And he understands that he needs to do that. And I think he also understands, as I mentioned before, depending on where he views or thinks this team should be in the present, determines what he does with this coaching staff and moves on. Again, it's going to be a tough decision to make. I think we're all there. I think we can all agree that Coach Flus is in over his head with this team. You heard Keenan Allen say it. We feel as though we did everything as players to win this game. You've heard DJ Moore say, I don't know why we didn't take a timeout. There's people, Jaquan Brisker's out tweeting from wherever he's at. I mean, obviously, you know, hope you get well soon and are able to play again. But these are things that we are looking at in that moment to try to figure out what is going on with this squad. And Ryan Poles is equally as embarrassed as you are, as are the McCaskies. And they're ready to move on from this situation because the Bears are ready to do that, ready to get into that position. They're getting close. And I think the NFC North is on notice as well. Granted, you lost to the Packers by a field goal. You lost to the Vikings. But they understand they're close. Now, what I hope doesn't happen is that then now the Bears get blown out the second time again. The Bears get blown out a second time again. That would be difficult to swallow. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Paulie out in downtown. Paulie, a lot of people were coming down on Caleb. Not a ton, but a lot on a couple of things. One, taking the sack. Two, changing the call at the very end. Thoughts on that? Thoughts on that?
You got a great show, first of all.
Thank you.
We got to break in real quick with some breaking news that Matt Eberflus has been fired.
Oh my gosh!
And this,
right,
according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network.
Paulie, let me take a break for you real quick. We have breaking news right now on 670 The Score. It's presented by BetQL Smarter Bets with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. According to Tom Pelissero, Coach Eberflus has in fact been fired by the Chicago Bears, despite the fact that he was on his presser this morning where Jason Leisure asked him, and Flus said, I've been going through my normal operations. Well, according to Tom Pelissero, it is only up until this point at 11:24 because the Bears have, in fact, fired Coach Eberflus as head coach of the Chicago Bears. Shocking news.
Yes, and according to Tom Pelissero, Thomas Brown is in for the next five games
as the interim head coach. Look at that. Who cares? Who cares what I got to say about Thomas Brown and having him focus solely on Caleb Williams' progress? I think, listen, when you think about Ryan Poles, who he is as a man, I'm sure when he sat in a room with Thomas Brown, he understood that that gentleman had coaching abilities. That gentleman could lead men the same way that Eberflus could, but the locker room was lost. Coach Eberflus and his inability to manage the game at the tail end, the inability to put them in a position to win, has cost him his job. Again, if you're tuning in right now, breaking news, Tom Pelissero reporting that the Bears have parted ways with Coach Eberflus. Wow, shocking news to be able to say that, because it's something that we all thought when it was Shane Waldron after that game. You said, hey, this guy has to go. Something needs to happen. Bears never having fired a coach in the middle of the season, finally make it happen. And wow, we are taking your text messages, your phone calls. We are here for you, live and local on 670 The Score, ready to take your reactions and ready to talk to the best of the best. And that includes my guy, Mark Grody, our Bears reporter, host of Take North Podcast. Make sure you guys check him out. And, of course, he's joining us right now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Mark, initial thoughts on the firing of Coach Flus?
It's a huge moment in Bears history here, Gabe. This is the first time the Bears have ever fired a head coach in season, a franchise that has been around for 100-plus years, and they did the right thing. They did what they had to do. This was not working out. There were egregious errors made by Matt Eberflus in several of the losses along this six-game losing streak. So the Bears, good for them, good for them. They did what they had to do.
Grody, is it another blunder to have allowed him to do that Zoom presser this morning? I mean, to get the news a couple minutes later, is to still allow him to do that? I mean, what is it, not just accumulation of the what's going on with this Bears organization?
I don't know yet, Gabe. I mean, that's fair speculation on your part. I'm not going to push back a whole lot on you, but I don't know what happened prior to that. Is it possible that they gave Matt Eberflus the choice whether or not to do it? Because, Gabe, Matt Eberflus probably knew at that moment during that Zoom that he was out. So it is possible that they gave him the courtesy of, do you want to talk or not? Now, again, this is fair to point out, too, to people who are just getting in their cars and listening right now, it was odd how the Zoom came together today. We did not have a link, the reporters, the core reporters, we did not have a link for that Zoom up until about 2 minutes before it had started. We, a lot of the core media members, we are on a special text thread with some of the Bears media relations staff. We were not getting, still haven't actually gotten a response from them on what was going on with the link. Usually they're very prompt in getting back to us, and they usually do us that courtesy of letting us know what's going on, and we still at this moment haven't heard. So I think that there's been a lot of fluid activity going on at Halas Hall, and like I said, maybe even a choice for Matt Eberflus whether he wanted to speak today. I should point out too to our listeners, Gabe, that it will be Thomas Brown will be the, talk about a guy who is rising, Thomas Brown will now be the interim head coach of the Chicago Bears, and we'll see what happens at the end of this season.
We're talking to Mark Grody here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Breaking news, according to Tom Pelissero, the Bears have parted ways with Coach Matt Eberflus. Thomas Brown will be taking over, and we'll be covering it live and local here on 670 The Score all afternoon long, starting with us. Grody, a question I have for you. I look at this situation with Flus being fired despite what happened yesterday, and I think to myself, the opportunity was there to move on from not only Waldron but Flus 2 weeks ago. Does it look bad on Ryan Poles that now 2 weeks later, giving him 2 weeks more of opportunity to damage this team mentally, that now he's moving on from Poles, or excuse me, from Flus?
No, I personally don't think so. I mean, yeah, they could have done it, and maybe they should have done it. But to answer your question directly, no, I don't think it looks bad on Ryan Poles. Again, because of the unprecedented disorganization from at the very top. I'm talking about ownership. I'm talking about George McCaskey. I'm talking about Virginia McCaskey. Philosophically, they don't do this. They don't want to fire head coaches in season. It makes them hurt to do stuff like that. So the fact that Ryan Poles was able to do this at any time, I think, is crucial and important. And I want to overdo it. Like, I'm almost feel like I'm raising Ryan Poles or the Bears to some hero status. This is the right way to operate your organization. This is, as I like to say, it's minimal essential competency that the Bears are finally catching up with. And this is something I've been saying on the Take the North podcast, on The Score, every chance I get. The Bears have a chance this season, starting with the drafting of Caleb Williams and putting the players around him that you have, whether we want to debate whether or not that's worked out or not. This organization is starting to do things differently. And this is a huge moment in Bears history to have done this. I get it, man. These losses, like every one of them, it feels like Matt Eberflus has had a hand in these losses. The overtime loss to Minnesota, the block kick against Green Bay. Yeah, maybe that's where they let him go. And maybe that's when they decided. Who knows? The home loss to New England might have been the worst of the bunch. You get slaughtered at Arizona, the day where Arizona looked kind of like the running game of Detroit yesterday. The Hail Mary against Washington, where you've got Tyreek Stevenson acting crazy and your head coach is not calling a timeout. That might sound familiar to yesterday. So, yes, they collected evidence and it became an untenable situation, and it's an obvious move, but at the same time, complicated because the Bears have never done it before.
If you're just tuning in, again, Coach Eberflus, Matt Eberflus, relieved of his duties as head coach of the Chicago Bears. Thomas Brown will take over. We're talking to Mark Grody about the initial reactions to the move. Impact on Caleb Williams, Grody. I mean, how does this move affect a rookie quarterback like Caleb in his development, where you're taking Thomas Brown, a guy who some people feel had a positive effect on Caleb over the last couple of weeks, and now his attention is going to be pulled a bit away from him?
Yeah, that's a little bit conflicting because, yeah, Thomas Brown has, it seems like those two are clicking. It seems like there is resonance there. It feels like that Caleb has responded in some regard to Thomas Brown. So it's a little bit touchy in terms of what is Caleb for the rest of this season. I think there's a couple of good things here, that the season is short here for the Bears. Caleb Williams is a very adaptable guy. Obviously, it didn't work out with Shane Waldron. And we honestly, like, while it has been good with Thomas Brown, it's not like the Bears, like, won with Thomas Brown. Things are more organized, but I didn't like the idea of getting carried away with Thomas Brown and thinking that, oh, this is the guy that's going to unlock Caleb Williams and realize all the potential. He restored order. Again, it goes back to doing the basic things well, and it was very easy, I think, for anybody who would have replaced Shane Waldron to come in and be like, okay, we're going to do this now instead of that. We're going to do that instead of this. I mean, simple moves were made. So I think it'll be very interesting. I like the fact that Thomas Brown will get to talk to that guy, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week when you include, game weekend and all that. It'll be interesting to see what his voice is like. But I am going to be very interested to see who ends up calling plays. Will Thomas Brown call plays? Will maybe the quarterback's coach? Could it be Kerry Joseph that steps up? Do they have other ideas for who might call plays? Still a lot of questions to be asked that we don't have the answers to at this moment.
As the Bears part ways with head coach Matt Eberflus midseason, I mean, it does raise critical questions, right, Grody? Does this help stabilize this struggling franchise, or does it inflict more damage on an already faltering team, one that seemed to have cracks in it?
I mean, I think there's a stabilizing process going on here, Gabe. You know, like I said, like, this is a team that it just feels like it's excruciating to get them to act accordingly, to act like other NFL teams, to do things the right way. And it sucks that it didn't work out with Matt Eberflus this year. It's terrible that they've lost 6 in a row and things are disorganized. And, you know, I was in that locker room yesterday in Detroit, and, you know, we could tell as reporters, you know, the reporters are in that locker room, you know, and we all talk to each other. We're all looking at each other going through that locker room. We're like, oh, wow.
Grody, my favorite question that you asked yesterday, and I was talking about on the show, when you asked Caleb Williams, were you surprised? Such a direct question. And I loved it. I was like, were you surprised that they didn't call a timeout? And his answer, pure PR 101, he skirted around. He answered the question. He goes, we could have called the timeout, but we could not have called the timeout either. What was your thoughts on Caleb in that answer when you were obviously trying to point out the flaws in Eberflus's clock management at the tail end of a game?
That's called trying desperately to think of what he wants to say. And in the meantime, come on, Gabe, you
he
read.
He had a bunch of ums. He had a bunch of ums in there, Gross.
You read body language. You know all this stuff. So he's talking, well, we could have done that. We could not have done that. You know, and then he got himself back on track, and then he did what he did for a couple of the answers. And good on him to say, you know, if I get that ball, put that ball in the right place for Roma Dunze, then we're not even having this conversation. We're celebrating the end of a losing streak. We're celebrating winning in Detroit against the best team in the NFL on Thanksgiving Day. So, yeah, I thought it was really interesting. And, Gabe, that was I was pretty proud of that because that was the question I was asking all players. I'm, like, thinking, how can I ask this question without the players feeling like they had to indict the coach. Because if you ask the question as, you know, why wasn't a timeout called or whatever, it's just like, hey, were you surprised? And, yeah, pretty surprised. Keenan Allen, one-word answer. I said, were you surprised there wasn't a timeout called? Yeah.
It's tough. Well, yeah. That's why, in fact, Coach Eberflus, or actually one of the reasons why Coach Flus is no longer the head coach of the Chicago Bears. If you're tuning in right now, Coach Eberflus, according to Tom Pelissero, let go by the Chicago Bears. Thomas Brown will be the interim coach for the time being. We're talking to Mark Grote right now. Grotes, could Thomas Brown be the head coach next year, or is he just a placeholder because the Bears realize they need a true upgrade at head coach?
Man, I mean, that'd be wild for a guy who, and, you know, maybe this goes to the, you know, Matt Eberflus's poor hiring. This is a guy who was not even quote unquote good enough to get the job as offensive coordinator over Shane Waldron. So I think that, and really, I think that just came down to, and obviously they liked him because they brought him in as the passing game coordinator. So, you know, that was his consolation prize for doing it. I think it really came down to, when they looked at those two guys, an experience question. Like, Shane Waldron had more experience calling plays, and maybe that's how he edges them out. Now, Thomas Brown comports himself very well in front of the team.
Very well.
Very well in front of the media. All of that stuff. This is a confident man, the kind of voice that you would like to have with your organization. But what I don't know is, does he know, once it's his gig, does he actually know what he is doing as a head coach? What's his clock management like? What's his time? What's he going to do in a specific scenario? So there has to be more to this than just a guy who speaks well in front of the room. That's a big part of it, because we know that, because Shane Waldron was essentially fired because he did not seem to have that authority. He wasn't that authority with the team. They didn't seem to respect him. He's got, Thomas Brown has that part, but I don't know if this guy knows how to manage an NFL football team. And that's what has to be heavily vetted. And here's the other thing, Gabe, you are in such a tricky spot right now with Caleb Williams, this generational quarterback. And I know we haven't said that in a while, but this number one elite player, do you want to do what the Bears have always done, except for John Fox? Do you really want to hire a head coach for this quarterback that has no experience as a head coach in the NFL? I think you have to take a long look at that right now, because you have to. If you're Ryan Poles, you have to put the absolute best around this guy. And I don't know if, on the surface, that doesn't sound like Thomas Brown. You have to go get elite for this guy. I mean, maybe you surround, you know, Thomas Brown with a great OC and a great DC, but I don't know who that is at this point, because the great OCs in this league right now, Ben Brown, guys like that, Johnson, you want those guys are going to become head coaches, right? So,
but it brings up the question, Grotes, where it's like, why wasn't, you're bringing up all these points of who the Bears are going to be looking for in the future, but don't, as Bears fans, I can only help but think, why didn't they do it last year then? What was so damning this year that maybe people felt like they didn't see in years past of Flus, that then, you know, puts them in the predicament now to have to then go find someone that they could have found last year with Caleb Williams? What do you think about everybody that makes that argument, bringing in the coach and the new QB at the same time?
It's a great point. My opinion was, and still is, I mean, I'll stay consistent with it, I thought Matt Eberflus deserved a chance to be the head coach of the Bears this year. I thought it would have been poor play on the part of the Bears if they had had him there the first 2 years, which was a legit, transparent, rebuild. That's exactly what it was. That Ryan Poles assembled a roster that was so bad in Flus's first year that they lost 10 straight games.
Yeah.
And some of that definitely falls on the head coach. And now we can look back and see, because this ain't the first year Matt Eberflus has made mistakes, to your point on why he's back this year. But But I thought that it would have been sort of odd if, okay, we got all these players now. We brought, you know, can we sign DJ Moore to an extension? Here comes Keenan Allen. You know, this, the defense looks good. The offense looks good. Bye, Eberflus. Take care. We're moving on from you. Now that we actually have a roster, I thought it was fair for the Bears to allow him to come back. In retrospect, that's not a good opinion. That's not the right answer. But that brings us to what just happened. At least they saw it, they identified it, and they're not waiting any longer to move on with the franchise. But it's going to be really interesting to see who leads this team, and it just can't, you just can't, like, they need to, and I don't know enough about Thomas Brown, again, to know if he is worthy in the future, but my gut says probably not,
yeah.
Just because you can't mess around. You can't flip a coin
no.
at this point on a guy who's never managed a football team. What's he going to do at the end of the game?
If Caleb Williams comes in and says, hey, Polsey, I love Thomas Brown, and he's exactly who I want here. You know, that's going to be the interesting one. We're talking to Mark Grody here on 670 The Score. Again, breaking news. According to Tom Pelissero, the Bears have parted ways with Coach Matt Eberflus. Thomas Brown, who once was the passing game coordinator, took over OC responsibilities after the firing of Shane Waldron. He will now step into the head coach role for the Chicago Bears team. Grody, before I let you go, what is the impact going to be on Caleb Williams? I think that's obviously we all can look at him as the bright spot this season. But now he's had a different offensive coordinator and now a new coach within his first season in the NFL.
Dude, that's jarring to think of. This will be, unless Thomas Brown is calling plays, which I don't know yet, this will be his third play caller in his rookie season. Bears. I mean, I'm so glad you asked that question because now it's hitting me. That's amazing to consider. Now, here's the good thing. Thank God for the Bears' sake that Caleb Williams is not exactly a deer in headlights. Like, Caleb Williams is mature. Will he have any kind of say in who calls plays? I don't think so. I don't think he's earned that yet. I think if you're Ryan Poles, you have to definitely insert your authority. And you can't necessarily, I mean, I like the idea of the quarterback having input, but Caleb Williams is a developing rookie quarterback who has not made it yet. So I don't think his voice should be too loud in all of this. But I think back to your original question, my original answer, I do think, and I hope this isn't naive of me, I do think that Caleb Williams has the maturity and the intelligence and, quite frankly, the quarterback chops to handle what is going on with just a handful of games left in this season. And then you get onto the business very quickly of making this thing right and putting the exact right people, not just around Caleb Williams, but again, somebody who knows how to manage a football game on Sundays.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how it happens. Certainly love what Caleb Williams has done at the podium over these last six games, where I was concerned what his psyche would be. A guy who has won at every level, coming to an organization where, you know, wins aren't going to be piling up from the very beginning. He's been jovial. I like it. I like the fact that he understands and mentions that these are all learning experiences for himself. And certainly he's getting one of the biggest learning experiences of his life as his first ever head coach in the NFL has just been fired. Grody, you are the goods, and I cannot wait to hang out with you tomorrow from 8 to 11.
Yeah,
G&G back in the building, ready to handle business, man. I appreciate you jumping on.
You got it, man. I'll talk to you later, Gabe.
Mark Grody, our guy here at 670 The Score, coming in to let us know and talk about the fact that Coach Matt Eberflus of the Chicago Bears, according to Tom Pelissero, has been relieved of his duties. What are your thoughts? Therapist Gabe is still here. I got my couch. I got my pen. I got my notepad. I'm ready to validate your feelings. 312-644-6767. And because this is such a big deal, we had to go ahead and pull this man out of vacay with his family. David Hall is outside the studio ready to talk some Bears. We'll do it all next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Surprised there wasn't a timeout called, though? Are you surprised?
Surprised? we can call a timeout. We cannot. Surprised? I'm not going to say surprised or not. Just... My job is to go out there and make plays. My job is to get everybody lined up. That's it, win games. So didn't do that today. I could have gave Rome maybe a little bit more of a jump ball in that situation instead of maybe trying to throw it over the shoulder or anything like that. But, with that situation, that's not what happened.
It was all good just a week ago.
Surprised?
No. And unfortunately, no longer. If you're just tuning in, Tom Pelissero reporting the Bears have parted ways with head coach Matt Eberflus after a 6-game losing streak. And some would consider the loss to the Lions the most damning of them all because of the lack of clock management. You heard it from the players, Keenan Allen. Hey, we did everything we could as players to win this game. You just heard from Caleb Williams. Could we have called the timeout? Grody asked him, were you surprised? Hey, we could have. We also could not have. I think the locker room was starting to fracture. I think the one thing that kept Eberflus in that job heading into the season was that he was a leader of men. From 3 wins to 7 wins to continuing to have this team show up week in and week out and play at a high level despite the record. The difference this year, the team felt as though they were talented enough to pull out these victories, to get close, to continue to get better as the season progressed. And unfortunately, after the bye week, I have no idea what happened there. But after the bye week, things went south for the Chicago Bears, ultimately leading to a 6-game losing streak and the demise of coach Matt Eberflus. Again, if you're just tuning in, Bears parting ways with Matt Eberflus. Thomas Brown will become the interim head coach for the remainder of the season. Shocking news, to say the least. First time ever in Bears history they're firing a coach in the middle of the season. But we will continue the conversation. David Hall from Mully and Hall is in studio. This man didn't call on the phone. He's not on a Zoom. He understands what's going on right now, and he will join me in studio next. We will hang out and discuss it. David Hall hangs with us, and we will take your phone calls as well. 312-644-6767. Breaking news. The Bears have parted ways with head coach Matt Eberflus. Shocking to some, but not to all. Your calls and David Hall next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Friday. Football Monday on a Friday here on 670 The Score.